Ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, pop it open, girl.
Yes.
Saturday. All right, welcome back to 1,000 True Crimes. This is Chelsea, and I'm here with the lovely Joe.
Hey, everyone. I'm just glad it's Saturday.
Yeah.
How are you doing over there?
I'm hanging in there, you know. It's been a crazy week. We're just, like, trying to figure out moving, and, it's never easy. It's just
It isn't, but you guys do have some added complications.
Yeah. So, and, like, COVID doesn't make it any easier, but, I mean, we've gotten some answers, so I'm getting excited.
Good.
But other than that, it's been good, just, you know, the hubby leaves again soon, so, like, all we do is, like, eat and drink so much when he's home, because he's, like, only home for, like, a couple months at a time. So when he's home, there's, like, no routine, and it's just, like, everything goes.
Yeah.
And my pants are like, you can't keep doing that. You're not 22 anymore.
To be 22 again.
So, yeah. But how are you doing?
Good. We placed like all of our orders for our care packages. I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but me and the little girls that I nanny were making like 50 different care packages for our friends in the homeless community. So we raised almost $1,200. We got a bunch of donations and we got all of our stuff. And so the stuff is starting to come in and we're starting to sort it out and put it in a bag. So it's a lot of work, but it's pretty fun. I mean, it's exciting. I feel like in a year where it's like just been so garbage, it's nice to have something else to like focus on and do good and help other people. And just, I don't know, helps.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome. All right. Well, what you drinking over there?
So I've got this Appalachia Session IPA. It's really delicious. It's by Wicked Weed Brewing. I'm sure that y'all know it. But it's like, I mean, it's hoppy, but it's also real fruity. It's delish.
Yeah, I can't do hoppy. I hate that taste.
You can't taste it over the fruit. Like because I'm not a big fan of hoppy either. And the fruit kind of, it almost tastes like a cider with like maybe a little flavor of hops in there.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's not bad. Well, what about
you? I'll have to try it when I get to NC.
Yeah, bro. I think this is from the mountains. I think. Yeah. Asheville, North Carolina.
And they definitely do not have it out here.
No.
I'm drinking my, you know, go-to Sauvignon Blanc.
Delish.
The white wine, 10 a.m.
Love it.
Saturday.
Love it.
Let's go. But yeah, so anyways, you want to talk about our crime today?
What god-awful nightmare of a human are we talking about today?
I know. This one's a little rough, so I am going to go ahead and do a trigger warning that it does involve a death of a child.
Yikes. All right.
Yeah. So
you've been warned.
You've been warned. Okay. So this is the case of Jarrell Kyler. And when the crime was committed against him, he was 7 years old. So we're going to kind of take it back to the 80s and kind of go over like his parents and everything that kind of led to this extremely tragic, tragic event.
Okay.
So Jarrell's mom is named, her name is Tammy, and Tammy attended St. Joseph in West Hartford, Connecticut, where she meets her future husband, Arnold, aka Jarrell's dad.
Okay.
They met one night at a club, you know, college kids, do what you guys gotta do. Mm-hmm. And at the time he attended UConn.
Okay.
So they start dating, but there's suspicions in the very beginning, like right off the bat, that he wasn't being super faithful in the relationship.
Okay.
But Tammy kind of like,
let it go.
I don't know, benefit of the doubt. Yeah, benefit of the doubt. Okay. Like, I don't think there was like a lot of proof that that was happening. So it was just like a suspicion.
Okay.
And after college, they end up moving in with each other.
Okay.
So in 1989, Tammy finds out that she is pregnant with their first son, Jarrell.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's the year we were born.
I know. It's crazy.
Wild.
They end up getting married in January 1990.
Okay.
And they moved to Windsor, Connecticut. Okay. Jarrell was born on October 26, 1990. And after that, after Jarrell was born, Tammy became even more active in her faith, which was Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, weird.
And yeah.
Or not weird, and, random, I guess.
Yeah, I just, you know, I only know one Jehovah's Witness.
I don't think I know any personally.
And I worked with them.
They've come to my door, but I don't know any personally.
He was super nice. I asked him a lot of questions.
I would too.
Because I'm pretty sure they're a little like...
It's a cult.
Like, I know, like, they call it a temple. It's not a church.
It's a cult.
Yeah.
Even Jehovah's Witness say that. I mean, whatever. Live your life. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is important because she actually starts attending the church temple that her aunt and cousin went to. Okay. And her cousin's name is Chastity.
Okay.
Okay. So... Tammy is working a full-time job, and she ends up, like, pretty much, like, hiring Chastity to babysit Jarrell.
Okay.
And in 1994, there's, like, this family pool party. And this is when the family starts to kind of notice that Chastity and Arnold are flirting pretty heavily.
Uh-oh.
Like, just, like, they're, like... kind of like tunnel vision, like no one else is around. And and then also during that time, one night, Arnold, Chastity, her brother, and some other people went to a quote unquote club.
Okay.
And the clubs in Connecticut, you know, at least back in the 90s, closed at like 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 4 a.m. Tammy's waiting up. Chastity and Arnold still are not back.
Ugh.
Finally, they walk in through the door. So, like, there is definitely starting some tension in the family.
Yeah, because that's 2 unaccounted-for hours. 2, maybe 3.
Mm-hmm. And, like, there's also, like, did they really go to the club?
Right.
Is that just the story they told people?
Right.
So people are starting to get suspicious, but Tammy kind of just, like, I don't know. I wouldn't want to believe it either because it's not, like, some random person. It's her cousin.
Yeah. And she's got a baby with this man.
Yeah.
Mm.
So Tammy finds out that she's pregnant with her second child, Lindsay, who was born July 22nd, 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And by 1996, Tammy took in her brother's kid, Danny Jr., because there was like some drinking problems within
okay.
her brother's family.
Okay.
And she worked as like a welfare, social welfare.
Oh, okay.
And she didn't want Danny Jr. to go into the system.
Yeah. Okay. Aw.
So she took in Danny Jr.
What a good sister.
I know, right? Well, I wouldn't let my nephew go into the system.
Hell no.
Either.
Hell no.
Like. Also in 1996, they end up getting divorced, Tammy and Arnold. And she's kind of like, you know what? If you, like, at this point, like, it's undeniable that something's going on with Chastity. And him.
Okay.
Like, the family knows something's up.
Is that what prompted the divorce?
Well, yeah. And, like, I just got done watching, actually, the ID episode on it that they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, called Twisted Love. It's the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually didn't – I actually got a lot of the information from Case Law.
Okay.
From findlaw.com.
Okay.
And they had, like, the whole, like, transcript, I guess you could say,
yeah.
of the case. So I got a lot of the information from there. But in the episode on ID, like, it's mentioned that there was, like, a party
mm-hmm.
at a family friend's house. And people fell asleep. And then, like, someone caught Chastity and Arnold, like, having sex.
Oh, yeah.
So, gotta like, go. At that point, gotta it go. Was kind of like... Yep. Like, you couldn't hide from it anymore.
Yep.
And it actually caused a big rift in the family.
Mm. Big yikes.
So they end up getting divorced. And after the divorce, and I'm kind of like, hope this isn't like too jumpy. But I'm going to mention this because it comes back into the, like, down the road.
Okay.
It it becomes this is not important. Super important, but yeah. So she ends up like starting to date, and she starts dating a guy named Ben, and she eventually introduces him to her kids. But the relationship kind of ends quickly because he starts saying like sexual things in front of the kids, and he's like mentioning that he has family members and like he was possibly part of the Jamaican gang.
What?
And then she found out he was married.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then she found out he was married.
So many questions. Like, saying sexual things, bragging about maybe being part of a gang in Jamaica, and that he's got a wife. Married. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So not a great dude. Not a great dude.
No.
Well, I'm glad she peaced out.
So she did, but he was like kind of pissed because he was kind of an arrogant, you know, like he got what he wanted.
This Ben
and, like,
dude.
You didn't disrespect him. Mm. Yeah. Like you didn't disrespect him.
Got it. I know the type.
So he was kind of like angry at Tammy. Okay. So,
oh dear.
That is the kind of very brief, I'm sure, relationship of Tammy and Arnold.
Okay.
So, two kids, Lindsay and Jarrell.
Okay.
So, we are going to jump into Chastity and Arnold's relationship.
Bleh.
So, and remember, Chastity is her cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's definitely a little
gross.
Not okay. So Chastity West and Arnold started dating when she was about 21 years old and he was 32. And like I said, a lot of the family really disapproved of the relationship due to the fact that they were Jehovah's Witness and extremely religious.
Mm.
So like this was going against everything that they believed in.
Yeah, no kidding.
So Chastity wanted to marry Arnold and start her own life with him, but he wouldn't marry her due to her being cousins with Tammy and the tension like already in the family. So they kept trying to keep their like relationship behind closed doors.
Okay.
But they did not do a very good job about it because the family figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he like told her like he would never move out of state because of his children.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. So during the divorce, the decision on the children's custody was that Arnold would get Jarrell and Lindsay every other weekend and two nights a week.
Okay.
So on his scheduled weeknights, he would pick the kids up and from like daycare and take them to Tammy's house and stay there until she returned home from work. And Tammy had made a key for him and he would always keep it in Lindsay's diaper bag.
Okay.
That's also important.
Okay. Okay.
So at this point, like, Chastity wants to start a life with him. He's kind of, like, not having it.
Mm.
She's, like, getting a little, like, aggravated because, like, he has to pay a lot in child support. He's not going to, like, move out of state.
Yeah.
This isn't like the Tammy and Arnold.
Like, this isn't the relationship that she was thinking it was going to be.
Yeah. No. And it seems like Tammy and Arnold had really, like, tried their best to be the best co-parenting that they could do in that situation.
Okay.
Like that's what I took from it.
Mm-hmm. And she probably didn't like that they were still friendly either.
Yeah. I mean, like the fact that like he would go to Tammy's house and like wait for Tammy to get back from work so he could be with the kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that to me is like, you're definitely trying to keep it. So Chastity, like, still is feeling threatened by the relationship that Tammy and Arnold had. And in 1997, Tammy purchased a new home in Windsor. But due to the fact that Chastity was dating Arnold, Tammy never invited her into, like, the new house.
I don't blame her.
Yeah, I'd be like, you can go.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
Fuck off. So Chastity would follow Arnold to Tammy's house to check up on him.
Ugh.
She would have her younger cousins go with her, and she would have them describe the layout of Tammy's house. She would refer to this as, like, her missions. And every once in a while, she would ask Arnold questions about the location of rooms in Tammy's house.
That's so weird.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, they started dating when she was young.
Yeah.
But by the time that, like, things really got crazy, she was 26 years old and a licensed practical nurse.
Okay. Dang. Okay. So this went on for 5 years because they were 21.
It was pretty much like,
She was 21 when they met.
It was pretty much like So there's like been a little like from like, so I didn't realize, like I said, that ID had done a episode of this until this morning. So
oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did a lot of the research. So I got a lot of this from like different like local newspapers and like I said, Fine Law.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a little discrepancy. It sounds like maybe the flirtation started when she was 21.
But maybe they met a little earlier than that.
Well, I don't, or maybe they didn't get more serious until a little bit later, because I've read that like things got really like hot and like more intense after Lindsay was born.
Okay. Okay.
So in 1998, Tammy went to the elders of her church and asked for them to investigate Arnold and see if he had committed adultery while they were still married. I don't know why that, like, again, they're religious. So. Right. I don't know how, like, Jehovah Witness, like, why would you do that? I don't understand. Like, they never, I never got an explanation as to why she went to the elders.
As someone who grew up in a super, I was, like, Baptist, so it wasn't Jehovah's Witness, but I could totally see a wife. I mean, that's what you're taught is your first line of support is you go to the elders in the church. And she probably, A, was trying to get proof. And B was hoping that they could talk to him and convince him to stop. Because, I mean, like,
well, I mean, it was after the divorce, though.
Well, maybe there was, maybe she was trying to get like a different compensation for like her alimony, or maybe she was just trying to embarrass him, you know, like,
I don't know,
publicly shame him. I've been cheated on. It pisses you off.
Well, yeah, especially with a fam, like a close family member. Like, that's just,
yeah, good God. Good God.
So anyways, this like pissed off Chastity, and she starts to look into ways to like scare Tammy.
Okay.
So sometime in April/May of 1998, Chastity reached out to Alexis Grajales.
Grajales?
Grajales? Hey, that was actually pretty good.
That
for
was
me
pretty
to
damn close.
But this is also where I kind of got a little confused, because on all the news articles and on the law website, everything has that name. But then on the ID channel, they say Miguel Vasquez.
Hmm.
So I don't know if he changed his name.
Okay.
I don't know if he went by two different names. I'm not sure, but when I Google the Alexis name, mm-hmm, and then like then Gerald, like this is what pops up.
Okay.
And when I Googled Miguel's name and Jarrell, nothing came up.
Okay. So, let's stick with Alexis.
Because then everything else that ID talked about matched up to what I found.
Okay. Okay.
Online. So
who knows where that came from?
I don't know.
ID, shoot us an email. Tell us who Miguel Vasquez is.
So this is her younger, okay, so this is Chastity's younger cousin's boyfriend, and told him about a job at the Connecticut Health Center.
Okay.
She then asked him if he knew anyone that knew anything about like explosives.
As one does in casual conversation.
Conversation, I know, right? He says, no. But Tammy keeps calling him for like the next few weeks, asking if he knew of anyone that would kill for hire, if he knew where she could get a gun.
Like, what in the hell?
Yeah.
This poor guy is probably like, bitch, I don't know.
Yeah, like, leave me alone. And then she also like claims that Tammy has been terrorizing her for years, but she didn't want to kill Tammy because she didn't want to have to take care of her kids.
Oh, God. Okay. All right, here we are. None of that is true. I mean, probably the fact that she didn't want to take care of the kids, but I bet Tammy has not been terrorizing her.
No. Oh. So sometime in May of 1998, Chastity offers to pay Alexis $4,000 if he would enter the house and restrain Tammy while she vandalizes her home. He finally agrees to this.
What?
Believing, though, that all was going to happen was some vandalizing and like, that's it.
Now we have to remember, this is like an 18-year-old, very young man.
Yes, he's young. So on June 7th, they go to a department store and buy a flashlight and two pairs of navy blue coveralls to be used during the break-in.
Okay.
And then on June 11th, Chastity asks her younger cousin to go with her to her grandmother's house to see if the key to Tammy's house was in Lindsay's diaper bag. Ugh. Because that's where she regularly kept the key for Arnold.
Yeah.
So, of course, the key's there. So she's able to make a copy of the key.
Ugh.
So the original plan was that on July 7th, so like a month later almost, they were supposed to go and vandalize her house, but Chastity was with Arnold, ended up being with Arnold that night and could not leave.
Okay.
So she tells Alexis to go out and buy like a box cutter, and he does.
Okay.
So now we jump to the next night, July 8th. On July 8th, Chastity arrives to Arnold's apartment at 8 p.m. She leaves Arnold's apartment around 12:30 a.m. So now we're July 9th.
Mm-hmm.
She calls Alexa six times between the hours of 12:30 a.m. and 1:10 a.m.
Okay.
And during one of the calls, she reminds him to bring the overalls, box cutter, and flashlight, as well as an empty bottle, like a soda bottle, like a 2-liter soda bottle.
Okay.
She also tells him that Jarrell and Lindsay were spending the night at their grandmother's. They meet at a shopping mall and then drive separately to a gas station where they purchase gas to fill up the bottles. So they actually end up, like, during the investigation, they actually end up capturing Chastity around 2 a.m. on surveillance camera paying for the gas.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah. Which, like, again, like, surveillance actually did something it was supposed to do. Yeah,
that's true. We've had two in a row. Because 9 times
out of 10, it doesn't. You're just like, oh, we lost that. It just every 2 minutes.
We got to record over fresh. That's all we got. That's the only, that's all the space that we have for memory. That's it.
Yeah. So they then go to an apartment complex parking lot that was near Tammy's house. And that's when they change into the overalls. They put like masks on made out of nylons and they put latex gloves on. And then they drive to Tammy's house and enter her house using the key they stole.
Now listen, the fact that Alexis, even up until this point, thought that all that was going to happen was some vandalization. I mean, come on. They have gasoline. They're covered from head to toe.
Yeah. I'm not putting any, like, I don't think he really knew what was going to happen.
He's probably just caught up in the adrenaline of the moment.
I think he's just thinking that, and he's getting $4,000. And I mean, think about it. Yeah. When you were that young, like,
a lot of money,
especially in the late 90s.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a lot of money.
You're right. That's true. That's a valid point.
And when you're young, you don't think through it. Like,
nope.
I could never do it because my anxiety would be like crippling.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You're right.
So they enter Tammy's house. Tammy, Lindsay, who's 2, and Jarrell, who's 7, were sleeping together in Tammy's bed. Mm. Their baby cousin was also asleep in the room in a crib. Danny Jr.
Her nephew, yeah.
Yeah, her nephew, right? It's Danny Jr.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Tammy's bedroom was on the first floor.
Okay.
And the kids' rooms were upstairs. So she hears a noise coming from the front of her house. And in the ID channel, she's like, that was the only time she's ever been on TV talking about this, was the ID episode. Mm-hmm. And she mentioned that, like, she said it sounded like wind coming through. So she thought, like, maybe the door had popped open or something.
Oh.
So she gets up to go close it.
Oh.
And so when she's in the hallway, she sees someone coming towards her. She gets tackled to the ground. And Alexis tells her, like, to be quiet, covers her mouth and nose, says, be quiet, no one will get hurt. And so she can't scream. So she's kind of just laying there, like, probably in shock.
Yeah,
like,
terrified.
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And Chastity runs up the stairs to the second floor where the children's bedrooms were and saw that they weren't there. So she goes to Tammy's room where she closes the door. Tammy at this point hears Lindsay like whimpering, crying. So she knows something's going on. And Jarrell asks, what is going on?
I bet she turned into a banshee. Point,
oh my God. At this point, she's actually able to get the his hand off her mouth enough.
She has that mom strength now.
Uh-huh. To be like, my kids, please don't hurt my kids. And also at this point, she was able to pull one of the gloves off and the watch that he was wearing off.
Okay.
So she was like fighting like hell.
Yeah, she was.
So Alexis is like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm out. He literally yells, I'm leaving. I'm out. And just books it out the door.
You know what? Probably the smartest decision he ever made.
The smartest decision was the first time he said no.
That's true.
He should have
stuck with that one.
Crazy.
God damn.
So like 30 seconds later, Chastity follows pretty soon and leaves the house. But she also leaves a bottle filled with gasoline on the nightstand.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like a, not Mazel Tov. That's not correct. that's not correct at all. What is it called?
What are you talking
about? The cocktail.
Oh, a Molotov. Like a Molotov cocktail.
Molotov.
She had it set up like that in everything.
Yeah.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So Tammy locks the front door as soon as they leave. She runs back into her bedroom where she finds Lindsay bleeding from her wrist.
Oh, my God.
She's two, remember?
Oh, my God.
So she gets a towel for Lindsay to try to, like, stop the bleeding. And she goes back to her room and she's calling for Jarrell. She's like, wake up. Like, we got to go.
Yeah.
And she thought he was just sleeping because, like, he was face down and not moving. And then when he didn't respond, she reached over and turned him around to see that he had a deep gash across his throat.
Oh, my God.
She calls 911 and tells the operator that she thinks he's dead and that they had almost cut his head off.
Oh, my God.
The first ambulance arrived at 2:39 a.m., and they transported Jarrell to Hartford Hospital, where he was pronounced dead at 2:58 a.m. on July 9th. He also had cut marks on both of his wrists. Tammy's nephew was not harmed. He was the only one.
How could you do that? How could you? I have no words. I have no words.
Because in her mind, she's like, if I get rid of the kids, then there's nothing holding Arnold back.
Yep. Wow.
And I mean, she was a licensed practical nurse, so she knew like where to cut on wrists and how to cut to do damage.
Damn.
Yeah.
What a bitch.
Mm-hmm. So Tammy thought at the time that two men had entered her house and attacked her and her kids. And Chastity's defense down the road tries to use that against her. Mm-hmm. But like, I would assume two men too.
Right, because she didn't see, like,
she didn't see them.
And it was dark when she got tackled, and then she was on the floor, and the only one that was on top of her was a man. So I could see why she would draw that conclusion. Yeah.
So the police start, like, questioning people in their lives, and they end up questioning Chastity the next day. But she said that she was at Arnold's house that night and had driven to a parent's home at 1 a.m., and she did not make any stops along the way.
Mm.
She also said that her relationship with Arnold was not serious and that there wasn't much like tension between her and Tammy, which is a lie.
And also she's just being stupid. Like they're going to find that out. Like, what are you doing? I mean, good. I'm glad she's stupid. She needs to get caught. But like,
so I think like the police are kind of like,
something feels
totally
weird.
Something feels weird. So they also start looking at other theories on what could have happened that night. And they are able to quickly rule out Arnold due to him living like 20 minutes away.
Okay.
And right after Tammy got off the phone with the police, she called Arnold.
Okay.
And this is the 90s. So like cell phones.
She called a landline. Right.
She called a landline and he answered. So there's no way he physically could have done the attack and made it home in time to call.
Okay.
To answer that call.
Okay.
Police then, while they're looking around the evidence, that the soda bottle filled with the gasoline is the same type of soda, pineapple soda, that a lot of people from like the West Indies drink.
Okay.
Like it's like, you know, a thing. I don't know. I've never heard of pineapple soda.
I hadn't either. Yeah.
So
I can believe it.
So they do start to wonder if somehow Ben, her former boyfriend, was connected because a few days before there was an attack like in a similar area.
Where this Ben guy, right?
Well, it was an attack on former gang members from Jamaica. And at this crime scene that was left was the same exact thing. Pineapple 2-liter soda.
So this dude might have really been in a Jamaican gang.
So he might have been. But they actually were able to rule out Ben. Like, he did not have anything to do with it. They were actually able to rule it out.
Listen, that helps eliminate suspects.
So back to when Tammy was being attacked, like I said, she pulled off Alexis's watch during the attack. Mm-hmm. And the police decide, you know what? Like, we're going to make a press statement. Because at this point, you know, it's 3 or 4 days after Jarrell's death. And everyone in the town is just, like, devastated. And the cops are like, this is not going to just be put to the side.
Good.
Like, they did their job.
Good.
So they decide to show the watch on the news and do a press statement about it.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, like, Chastity is, like, freaking out. And her and Alexis come up with a plan. They were worried that the watch would be traced back to them, as well as the bottle filled with the gasoline that they left.
Mm-hmm.
So she asks him to return the money that she gave him so that her bank account wouldn't be suspicious. And if the cops ask him about the watch, just say that he was helping a man whose car ran out of gas. And after getting the gas for the man, he sold him, this random guy, his watch.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Good story. Great job.
Mm-hmm. Super not random at all.
No.
So July 16th, 1998, Alexis goes to the police station to answer some questions. He says that on the night of the murder at 1:45 a.m., he was driving home from East Hartford from Windsor when a man flagged him down and the man had ran out of gas.
Okay.
Alexis went to a nearby gas station to purchase gas, and that's when he ran into Chastity, who gave him a cookie wrapper to cover the soda bottle mm-hmm. of gas.
Mm-hmm.
When he returned from the gas station, the man gave Alexis $150 for his watch.
Mm.
So they're trying to set it up that this random man attacked Tammy and her children.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
No. It's a bad story.
No sense.
It's bad. Which is good.
Mm-hmm. So again, the cops are like, yeah, this is not adding up.
Yeah.
Because Chastity had told them when they first interviewed her that she went straight home to her parents from Arnold's house the night of the murder.
She didn't say nothing about going to no gas station.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. Got him.
So on July 17th, 1998, at 12:20 a.m., Chastity arrived at the police station where she was questioned by Detective James McLean of the Connecticut State Police and Sergeant Mark Francis of the Windsor Police. They ask her for her alibi for July 8th and 9th, and she keeps, like, changing her answers and being evasive. And finally, Francis shows her pictures of Jarrell from his autopsy.
My God. Oh, my God. Yeah.
And saying that, like, you know, he didn't deserve this and didn't believe that she was telling the truth. So she ends up finally admitting to the murder of Jarrell.
Got her.
So this is where I was like, oh, okay. End of story. Like, what's her sentence?
Mm-hmm.
So on findlaw.com, it starts getting, I had to skip a lot of it because it starts getting into way too, like, loyal.
Like the minutia. Yeah.
Speak.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying. But in it, it mentions that they didn't read her Miranda rights in the beginning of the questioning.
No!
Which is an issue.
Come on!
So after she confessed that they ended up reading her rights and she initialed the form and said, like, she understood her rights, she then changes her story and says she didn't confess to anything and she wants a lawyer.
Ah! God damn it.
On July 23rd, the police search her car where they find a spot of blood on her windshield wiper control lever. And DNA evidence proved that it was Jarrell's blood.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right.
So July 27th, Alexis enters a plea deal. Okay. And the state agrees to a total effective sentence of no more than 25 years in exchange for guilty pleas to felony murder, burglary in the first degree, and kidnapping in the first degree for his corroboration in the investigation and testimony.
Oof, that's a stiff deal.
Yeah. So Chastity testifies in her own defense, which is like never good. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Well, she's proven to not be very intelligent, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. So she does admit to coming up with a plan to burglarize Tammy's house and like kind of scare her, but she claimed she did not enter her house and that Alexis is the only one who did. She also claimed that the point was to scare her, not to hurt anyone.
This bitch.
So the evidence is like, no. The evidence is pointing to her.
Right.
So in 2001, Wes was sentenced to life in prison for the murder of Jarrell, attempted murder of Lindsay, and burglary. And Alexis ended up getting just 6 years.
There you go. I'll take it.
Yeah. So in 2004, her lawyer went to the Connecticut State Supreme Court arguing that her conviction should be overturned due to mistakes in the first trial.
Oh, no.
So during the crime scene investigation, they find a partial palm print that did not match Tammy, Alexis, or Chastity. So this was used in her defense that a third party did enter with Alexis in the house and it wasn't her.
But what about with Tammy's testimony saying they had gloves on?
Also, eventually it gets denied because you don't know, like, when that partial palm print was left.
Right. That could have been, like her
it
aunt.
It could have been from the previous... Well, it could have been from the previous homeowner.
Yeah.
It could have been from a maintenance worker. It could have been from one of her friends, like Tammy's
or
friends.
Or her
like,
very you, large no family way. That is all local. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay.
So there's no way to, like, really back it up.
Yeah.
And then she also tried to say in her defense that Tammy's dad had sexually abused her, but that was disproved as well.
Oh my God, this girl is, she is grasping at straws. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the case. And, you know, Arnold did testify that he never loved her, but he did have a sexual relationship with her. I'm sure the guilt he feels is just absolutely horrendous.
Damn.
But that is the case of Jarrell.
Poor sweet baby.
I hope he is living it up in heaven. Like,
yeah.
Aww. Or whatever Jehovah Witnesses believe in. I don't know if they believe in heaven.
I think it's heaven. No, it's like some weird, like, yeah, I don't know. Whatever it is. I hope he's there and happy.
Yeah, me too.
God
baby.
Damn it.
Yeah. Got a little dark there.
A little bit.
Yeah, so never get into a love triangle, guys.
Listen, don't fuck your wife's cousin. Jesus fucking Christ. God damn.
Mm-hmm. And again, like I said, ID has, I think it just came out like earlier last year. And it's very good. Tammy's in it towards the end. And it's the only interview she's ever done.
That poor
on TV,
mother.
She said. But yeah, we'll have all the things. Most of it came from local news sources and caselaw.findlaw.com.
And I'll put all those links in our show notes for the episode.
So.
Ugh.
But yeah, so Joe, what's your weekly win?
I have a surprise day off on Monday. My nanny kid came. Yeah, she came to me on Friday and she says, oh, I'm not going to see you till Tuesday. And I was like, why? And she was like, it's Martin Luther King Day. And I'm like, is it? And then like after like, I left work, her mom texted me and she was like, oh, I didn't realize it was MLK. Like, so sorry. You're off on Monday. We don't need you. Don't worry. Don't come in. It's okay. And she was like apologizing for letting me know so late that I had the day off. And I was like, girl, I forgot about it too. Like your daughter had to remind me.
That's great. You're like, I will take it though.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
What about you? What you got this week?
I would say that we got a lot of things figured out for our move.
Yay!
So, and I'm hoping that by Wednesday, Thursday of next week, everything will be kind of like officially set on what, when we're leaving, plane ticket spot.
Oh my God!
All that stuff. So
I'm so
that's
exciting.
When is that? You got some more information and some things figured out.
Woo!
Woohoo!
That's a great weekly one.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Well, come find us in our discussion groups. We have a 1000 True Crimes podcast discussion group on Facebook and a 1000 True Crimes podcast on Instagram. We have all of our links, pictures, stuff like that for all of the episodes. And plus any like news or information, we'll share it on there too. So come join. Chat with us. We're in there. And then also, if you would give us a like, a follow, or a subscribe. And if you're listening from Apple Podcasts, if you'd leave us a review, that would be awesome. Apparently it helps or something. I don't really know.
I think so. Yeah.
You don't have to say anything fancy. You can just say hi, or, you know, they coerced me into this, or I'm being blackmailed. I don't care. But yeah, it would help. It'd be awesome.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye.